Hotline, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. TD, always appreciate chatting with you every single Monday. What was your evaluation of what you saw from Malik Willis on Friday night?
Yeah, I think there was some good and some bad. I really liked the way that he was scrambling to pass. And those back-to-back throws to Julius Chestnut, that was an example. I liked the placement on the throw to Colton Dow, you know, to kind of lead him away from the DB. That was a good one. And Kyaris Jackson, that one, that touchdown was a good one too. So I saw some good things. You did see some bad, you know, the throw on the interception to the linebacker. He would definitely like to have that back. I'm a little behind Josh Wiley on that crosser, although I wonder if he thought Wiley was going to settle a little bit sooner away from the DB. That's neither here nor there. But overall, I think he showed signs. And, you know, some people said that he shouldn't be in the league after watching the Minnesota game. Well, I hope that they watch this one because, you know, he definitely showed that he deserves to be in the NFL.
I said earlier that I think I saw some of Malik Willis's best throws on display on Friday night, but I'm still concerned about the turnovers, TD. How do you feel about the couple of interceptions that we saw from Malik on Friday?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, that one, that interception where the linebacker, I forget his name, 53, I think it was, got the – he was there, and, I mean, it was one of those ones where you have to – you have to see that, you know, and it was different from the Vikings one, whereas the linebacker didn't have his back to him and there wasn't a route, you know, coming underneath. It was a whole different situation. But, you know, you can't turn the football over like that. And look, the Wiley one, the pass, it's one of those ones where you don't know unless you talk to both of them and they take a lie detector and tell you the truth. Because I really think that Willis thought Wiley was going to throttle down a little bit earlier and not drift over towards the DB, and that's why he threw it behind him. So, I mean, yeah, you can't have the interception, but I don't think the second or the one to Wiley was all the way just a terrible play.
We're talking with Teron Davenport. Now, TD, you're exactly right on that Wiley interception, and I explained that to Caroline and Willie. I was more concerned about the second interception. I think that first interception, there may have been some miscommunications because it seemed like they were bracketing that tight end. And if he stops in a hole, then maybe the ball is right where it needs to be. But because he drifted closer to that inside guy, which was the inside backer, he's trying to throw it to his, you know, away from that. And it just got kind of away from him. But like you said, he's not going to say that Wiley did wrong and you know, and whatnot. It was just his job to put it on the receiver, and he didn't. I wasn't – that one I can deal with because there may have been some miscommunication with both. But that second one, again, because it happened again – it happened last week, TD, and I know it was coming from the other side, but it still was – you got to see the middle of the field. I think he was just trying to get too cute. He saw a space – that seemed to be open, and he was trying to throw it in that space, and it just didn't get there.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is with that, that's one of those layered throws, right, where you want to get it just beyond the linebacker and before the DB. Mm-hmm. There was a window there, but he just didn't get enough on it. And I went back and watched it because a lot of people, you know, replied when I posted on Twitter that it was a bad throw. A lot of people said that it was tipped, and one person sent me a video, and I went back and watched over and over again. There's a possibility that it was, but, you know, I'm not going to go there. I think, you know, you just had to get a better throw on it. And you can't have those throws, just period. Like, you can't have those type interceptions, and that's pretty much what it was.
Now, the offensive line, I think the offensive line in the first two games, they were making progress. And then I think against the New England Patriots, that offensive line took a step back. Now, I know they were playing against New England's first-line defense, at least for that first series. But that's who they're going to face as they get into the season. They're going to face frontline guys, even if it's rotated guys. It's still guys that the team believes that can make an impact on them from a defensive line standpoint. How do you look at the play of the offensive line in that game and moving forward?
Yeah, it has to get better. And you ask Coach Vrabel about that, and you know his demeanor seems to change when you ask him about the offensive line. And I get it, because it's so important, and that's really where it all starts from. So, yeah, they have to get better. It's going to require chipping, you know, from the running backs, and then you're going to have to attach Wesco to whether it's the left side or right side, whoever's getting killed, you're going to have to attach him there and just have him help out. And that takes a guy out of a pass route. So, you know, now parts of the playbook are going to be limited until they're able to get that protection. But I think, you know, that's one of those things. You got to work some play action in there. You know, everybody mentions how it moves the linebackers and everything like that, and that's true. But you get that max protection when you have that play action. And I think, you know, they're going to have to go to that a lot and just do some things to get the ball out of Tannehill's hands and into, you know, whether it's Hopkins, Okonkwo, Burks, whoever it may be. They got to get those guys the football quickly.
Teron Davenport with us. Teron, that's an interesting lead-in to where I was going to go with you with Tajay Spears. I saw some interesting numbers from Warren Sharp, analytics guy, and he broke it down, you know, for whatever it's worth in the preseason games, but he really paid close attention to yards after contact, and Tajay Spears led the NFL in that category. So despite the shaky offensive play we're talking about, Tajay Spears had an excellent preseason. According to that, I took note of it. So tell me what you think. There's a lot to like with Spears, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. And this is something that, you know, we've been talking about for quite some time when all the people boohooed using a third round pick on a running back. You know, I think when you look at yards after contact, that's something that it's like it's a mandatory to be a Titans running back because of, you know, some of the struggles they've had on the offensive line. We know Derrick Henry is one of the best in the league or maybe second to Nick Chubb and yards after contact. So that's something. I think when you look at Spears, though, it's all about the stiff arm. He's able to break tackles. He has wiggle. But for me, the biggest thing is the acceleration. And you saw that on the touchdown run against the Vikings. You know, he jumped over that defender, that safety, Lewisine, and he hit the ground, and it's gas, you know, instant speed, and that's what allowed him to pull away. So that's a good point by Warren Sharp, and it's the truth, man. You need that, and that's another guy that you could get the ball into his hands quickly, and that could alleviate some of that trouble offensive line-wise.
I like how the numbers are matching up with our eye test. That's always what I look for when you're looking for analytics. So, TD, another thing that is always a concern for a rookie, if they're going to have Tajay Spears out there as a pass catcher, you know, figuring third and long and things like that, how is he coming along in the pass protections?
Yeah, he's fine there. There were a couple times, I remember in Minnesota, where he took on blitzing linebackers and those types of things. And look, if you're going to be a guy that you're going to get, you know, funneled in there on third downs, you better be able to do that. And that's something that you look at the Titans, right? I mean, they got a lot of money invested in Ryan Tannehill. You know, this is the last year of it, but they've invested a lot of money in there. So you better be able to protect that asset. And I think that's what, you know, Spears has gotten better at doing. You see Coach Otten doing a lot of things as far as like working on that blitz pickup and those type of things with them during practice. So it's shining through.
Teron, you heard Mike Vrabel get asked today about, is he ready to declare Malik Willis the backup for week one? And he stopped short of doing that, and he went into the fact that Will Levis should be able to practice this week. So what do you see the process like? Because we don't have anything that we're going to be able to see from where we sit, right? You'll be at practice. What is it going to look like day in and day out to try to develop those two guys behind the scenes?
Well, here's the thing. When you're on the regular season, there's not really much time to funnel into developing a guy. It's all about, look, man, this is a new team that we're facing this week. We got to focus on that. And I think that's the way the coaching staff is looking at it. They don't have time to sit there and say, hey, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Don't forget this technique. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of that happening. The reps are going to be distributed. weeks, like this week, I would imagine going against the Saints, I would imagine, you know, Derek Carr is a guy that Will Levis is more similar to, so he'll probably get the bulk of them. But then when, you know, you go against the Browns, guess what? Malik Willis is more similar to Deshaun Watson. So now that's a luxury that they have, you know, whereas they could, you know, alternate guys that fit the team that they're playing, because that's their job right now. They have to be ready, of course, if there's an injury to Tannehill, but their job is to give the defense a look. And I think, you know, when you look at those two guys, that's going to be the focus. There's no developing, not that much as far as now is concerned.
So how does Levis make up ground?
He can't.
Yeah.
I mean, do we all believe really that? So does that mean it's going to be Willis's job?
Well, hold on. He can. I mean, just because he's out there executing the scout team offense, that doesn't mean he can't execute it well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we've seen guys before go in. Mason Kinsey is an example. Like, they like the way he gave the scout team, scout defense a showing, and they activated him on a couple games. So, like, you could do that type of thing. So there's still progression that Willis and Levis can make on each other, but it's just not going to be that digging in, working on specific techniques and all of that, because they got to work on the game plan.
Mm-hmm. Now, Harold Landry, how do you think he did? There were a few plays in there that I thought he did well, the tackle he had in open field. But then I was watching mm-hmm. him closely when he rushed the passer. He just still doesn't seem like that Harold Landry. Now, it could be, hey, that was his first game back, and maybe right. he needs another game or two. But it just seems like when he's trying to change directions after, you know, getting around that tackle, it seems like he's still having a little bit trouble of doing that.
Yeah, that's the main thing I wanted to see, and you're right. And it's a little disappointing, because watching him in practice, it really seemed like he had that feel. And I saw him a couple of times in one-on-ones making, a good speed rush and bending and getting around that tackle and getting the would-be sack. So he also said that he's not really thinking about the knee, et cetera, et cetera. I just wonder how much that transferred to the game. And look, that was his first action back. It was wise of Mike Vrabel to get him back in the mix and see some of those things, right? The cut blocks and the live tackling to the ground, et cetera. I would imagine come the Saints or even, you know, the week two, I would imagine was that the Chargers. I would imagine that he'll be closer. And it's just one of those things where it's just going to continue to work his way back into where he needs to be.
TD is with us. Last one for you, TD. Roster cut down day tomorrow. Several fringe roster guys, maybe at the wide receiver position, defensively. Who do you expect to be on the 53, and who might be a surprise tomorrow on roster cut down day, in your opinion?
Well, you're going to have to go to ESPN.com and look at my roster preview. I can't let the roster. Now, look, I tell you what, I did have to go back and change Racy McMath. And I think that project might be over as far as, like, making sure that he's on the 53-man. I think Kiaris Jackson, Colton Dow, those guys, I think they have a better shot. So that's one. Eric Guerra, the DB, you know, doubles as a returner. I think he snuck into there. And for me, you know, to see a guy come in here, right, just a tryout, and work his way to the roster, that's outstanding. And then just I always love when guys prove the size is not a skill theory. This guy's like, 5'9", 175 pounds, but he'll go out and tackle whoever he has to and fight all the way through the tuck. So he's the one. Matthew Jackson is interesting too, one of the safeties. They like to use him as a gunner. So that's another one. So it's going to be interesting. They have a lot of decisions to make, and they already started to make some. You saw it today. But I will say this before I get out of here. Come 1:45, a lot of Titans fans are going to be happy. I'll just put it that way.
Ooh, very nice. Teron, real quick, what are they going to do with Raidens now that he's passed the physical?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I talked to him a little bit, basically, like, what's next? And he said he's going to do whatever the coaches tell him to do. He's a guy that they worked at guard and tackle in the past, and Mike Vrabel kind of hinted at that being a possibility. But right now, it's just getting him back in the mix.
But he's making the team. You think he's making the team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's not making the team. I think that's a foregone conclusion that he's on the roster. It's just going to come down to, okay, is it Jordan Roos, Xavier Newman? Who does he push off the roster that probably would have been there before?
TD, you are the very best. Appreciate you stopping by, and we will check out your piece on ESPN.com.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, TD. Appreciate you. TD, he is the very best. We'll react to what TD had to say there and get to your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure.